everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. Does this sound hollow? I'm in some room in New York City that has hard floors, and it's a very compact space. So if it sounds hollow, that's why. How are you guys? Welcome to the show. On today's episode, I have Bonnie McFarlane on, and we are going to talk about chicks in comedy. I saw her in Montreal. There's this comedy festival called the Montreal Comedy Festival, and I went this year. I did my storyteller show there. We did six shows of drug and alcohol stories. They were really good. A lot of good stories. Oh, who's that? While I was there, I did a bunch of podcasts. And by a bunch, I mean one. Because, I don't know, I was too busy doing drugs and shit. Some mushrooms went around, and it made the whole event a lot more fun. I was there for 7 days. Comedy festivals, or my Joey Diaz says this, and I agree, it's like sleepaway camp for comedians. Day one, we did a storyteller show, a mushroom storyteller show. And some people in the show were on mushrooms, and I was, and so was Dan Soder. A couple other people pussed out, but they told mushroom stories at least. And then and the rest of the week was just great. But then later, my friend, who gets weird about drugs sometimes, so I won't say his name, but one of the guys who pussed out said that he got a line on some mushrooms. So we got some, and he was like, what should we get, like a quarter ounce? Is that going to be enough for me, you, and this other person? And I'm like, yeah, that's going to be plenty, but like, fuck it, let's just get an ounce. You don't think anybody will want them? It was $100, too, for the ounce. Good price. And so then the night of the last party, they have this giant party at the end of the festival. And everybody gets drunk, the agents and managers and comedians, club owners, bookers, industry executives, all those people, they just get bombed. It really is just a way for them to get drunk and party with each other. It's really nice. Everyone lets their guard down and just has fun. And like 10 to 15 people were on mushrooms at that party. It was really great. You would see somebody and they'd be sweating and they'd be like, you all right? And they'd be like, yeah, I'm great. And you're like, okay. All right, cool. I saw people just lying in the grass, staring at the stars. It was really great. You see fucking club owners getting them. And by the way, I had mushrooms in my pocket for a while because I had a few doses on me, and I took one dose. And then I would go up to people. I took probably two-thirds of a dose. I just wanted to have a good time. And I would go up to people, and we'd talk and stuff about drinking or whatever, and I'd say, do you want mushrooms? And this girl, Julie, was like, I don't know, maybe. And I was like, nope, you don't get them. And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, you didn't answer the right way. And she goes, no, I was saying I was going to take them. I'm like, no, you weren't saying that. You were hemming and hawing. And those aren't the people who want mushrooms right now. And then I asked my other friend, Kylie, Julie's friend, like an hour later, I was like, hey, do you want mushrooms? And she was like, yes. Oh, my God, you have mushrooms? Yes. And I was like, well, then you get them because that's the right answer. I got to give him someone else, too. I was like, do you want some? Like, yep. And I was like, okay, here you go. It was great. It was really great. It's great when fucking 15 people are on shrooms at a party. The only problem was you go inside where the music is loud and everyone gets in your face and tries to talk to you. And you're like, whoa, this is too much. I can't handle this right now. Anyway, back to the episode. So Bonnie McFarlane and I talked. We went to my room at the Hyatt, and we talked about chicks and comedy for a while. She just did a movie about all this stuff, about women in comedy, whether or not they're funny. And she did a documentary. She got Chris Rock to be in it and Joan Rivers and all these people, but we'll talk about it. But she also has a podcast, by the way. If you are interested, if you like her, go check out My Wife Hates Me podcast. It's Bonnie and her husband, Rich Voss. I haven't listened to it, but I'm sure they're good. They're both really funny. So check that out. And then here's the sponsors. Sorry. Go to Amazon.com. If you go to Amazon.com, I'll just keep this quick. If you go to Amazon.com, go through my website, AriTheGreat.com. There's a banner on the side. And by the way, I heard Amazon is going to start charging tax soon. So hurry up and go soon before they do. But until then, go get tax-free goods online by going to AriTheGreat.com. Hit the Amazon banner on the right. Do all your shopping. I get 6%. Somebody just said he spent $200. through my website on Amazon. And he goes, how many gummy bear bags does that buy you? Well, the honest answer is about five. About five of the big ones. Not the giant ones, but like the good size Haribo ones. So thank you. I will clog my colon and have colorful shits because of you. So yeah, just do all your shopping there. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and they give me a bunch of percentage on it. It comes out of their end. So that's a way to support the show. I don't know if you heard last week, but I lost a fucking whole episode that I did with Mac Danzig. And I spent like $200 trying to recover it. But I couldn't. But these are the kind of costs that I have from the show. That's what you get when you listen to a degenerate, not responsible comedian. There's hidden costs that shouldn't be. I'm worse than the government, probably, in terms of spending like $600 for toilet seats. I'm probably worse than that. But another sponsor I have is Gamefly. If you guys do video games, honestly, even if you don't play video games, they have this deal where if you go to gamefly.com/Ari and sign up for a 2-week free trial, they give me like $20. It's something really good. So like that's even the Amazon is a good consistent thing. This is like a one-time only thing. But gamefly.com/Ari. If you go to my website, there's a banner. I think the last banner is a Gamefly banner. There's also Spotify, but I don't know what the deal is with that yet. What was I saying? Oh yeah, they gave me $20. So just go and then cancel your subscription in 10 days if you don't like it. If you do like it, keep it. It's a great way to get fucking games like on a trial basis where you can just get them, use them, send them back. Hey, little pigeon, how you doing out there? Pigeons are really cute. If you really look at them, if you take away the disease and the fact that they look like they have, I take it back. They're gross. So go to gamefly.com/Ari and support the show. And that's it. Stand up. I'm in New York for a few days doing spots. I did Hannibal Buress's Knitting Factory show in Brooklyn last night. Fucking packed full of hip, cool people. What a great show. If anybody lives in Brooklyn, every Sunday night, head out there. It's fucking, it's an amazing fucking show. Great lineup. I think he has it all the time. Hannibal hosts. He's one of the best comics in the country. He hosts. It's a fucking great show. And then this weekend, I'll be at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey, with Kurt Metzger will be opening, too, working on his hour special for Comedy Central that he's taping in September. Okay, that's it. Let me do one more date. I'm in Vegas at the Empire Comedy Club. I think at the Paris. Empire Comedy Club, August 16th, 17th, and 18th. The Stress Factory is 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. But this is 16th, 17th, and 18th at Empire Comedy Club. My next storyteller show is August 21st at the Los Angeles Improv. It's going to be celebrity stories. I have not even thought of who to book yet. That's not true. I booked somebody, but I completely forgot. So if you're a comic and you're listening to this and it was you, please tell me. And that's it. It all goes $5 and it goes to Planned Parenthood. It's 8 o'clock on Tuesday at the LA Improv, Tuesday, August 21st. It's $5. That's nothing for the fucking 6 shows I put on. And I give it all to charity. All right, I'll talk about that later. But, okay, thank you guys very much for tuning in. I appreciate it. Please subscribe if you listen to this on iTunes or on Stitcher. Please hit subscribe so that you get these every week. I appreciate you guys for listening. Did you hear that? Now, please welcome Lady Miss Bonnie McFarlane. Oh, I shouldn't, what's the title of this? It's all about girls in comedy. Chicks Ain't Funny, maybe? Why do I never fucking think of a title before I start these? It's just irresponsible. It's just irresponsible. Let me think of something. Or maybe I'll call it Funny Girl. Maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll call it Funny Girl and I'll get that. I'll see if there's a Barbra Streisand song. That's what I'll do. Funny Girl. Here we go. Episode 70 of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. Funny Girl with Bonnie McFarlane.
I'm good for a laugh. I guess it's not funny. Life is far from sunny. When the laugh is over.
Boom, we're on. Hi. I'm going to do intros later, so I'll tell your name, but it's Bonnie McFarlane.
But your name is?
My name is Ari Shaffir.
Ari Shaffir, okay.
Thanks.
I was almost sure of it.
You knew my name, didn't you?
I did.
Okay. I've had that before where you know somebody's name, and you're like, I don't really know enough to actually say it. I'm pretty sure I know that guy's name.
No. I've had where you're, as you're saying it, you're like, oh, God, please be Linda. And this is Linda.
Yeah. Yeah, I said somebody yesterday, Ben Miner. And I like made sure to say Ben a couple times.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, was that right? But I looked it up and it is, so I'm okay.
Great story.
Yeah, it was pretty fabulous. We're in Montreal. You having a good time so far?
I am. I wasn't having a good time when I first got here. But,
why?
You know, my brain takes a long time to process stuff, so.
Oh, yeah. I'm reading this book now, this book. And it's about introverts.
What is it called?
Quiet.
Oh.
I don't know if you are one or not. I'm so enthralled by it. But they say the introverts have a tougher time processing things because it's, like, overwhelming.
Yeah.
Our receptors are, like, too open.
Well, when I'm in a new situation, I have to really – I'm quiet and I seem like I'm an extrovert because once you get to know me and stuff, I'm an asshole and I'm loud. And,
yeah.
But if I'm in a situation where I don't know, I'm very
– Yeah, this one says it's, like, if you can get into a really deep conversation with them, but talk about the weather and they have no
– Oh, I can't do – like, small can't talk do it. Drives me – nuts. I think that's why I have a hard time meeting new people, like in outside of comedy, because I can't.
Yeah, how do you talk to people when you meet them? It's just like, I don't know what to say to you.
I get such anxiety over it too. And then I see my little 4-year-old daughter. She's amazing at small talk.
Really?
She just I think the whole key is you state the obvious, like you're wearing a necklace, and then they're off and running
really?
And talking about their necklace. But she does it all. She's really good at it. I like
for
to
a
just,
while. I had to just have something to say when people are saying, "How are you?" Because I'd always be like, "Good, how are you?" And they say, "Good," and I'm like, "Oh, this isn't leading to any conversation.
I know this is a dead end.
What's new? Nothing. What's new with you? Nothing." So now it's like when they ask me, I have something I can use for like up to a year. Like I have my first enchilada.
Yes.
Just basic things like that. So when they're like, "How are you?" I'm like, "Good. I have my first enchilada." And they're like, "Oh, you've never had one?" And just something.
Yeah, because that gets the conversation going. That's a good idea. I'm going to
so
always say now I had my first enchilada.
Go for it. Really, you can use one. I don't care. I went to a football game. I used that for 2 years.
Yeah.
just anything. I don't care. Let's just start.
Right, but that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to just say anything.
How do those people do it?
Some people are they like that kind of safe talk. I like to go into...
I guess.
Yeah, I'd rather immediately get into I would honestly, this sounds crazy, but I would immediately rather if I was like, "How are you doing?" If someone said, "Oh, you know, my dad just got cancer." I would be better with that.
Way better, right?
Just to go right into that than to be like, "So it's hot, yeah."
I was at some meeting once at some network, and somebody told me that their child that had died, like a SIDS case.
Oh my God!
Yeah, and I was telling that to the agent who set it up the meeting. He was like, "Why would you talk about that?" And I was like, "I don't know, man. It came up. I was interested in it,
easier.
And we kept talking." Yeah,
big talk is easier for you
than small talk. Yeah, fuck.
It is.
All right. So now you're enjoying it because you've met people.
Mm-hmm. And then you see who's here, and
you're like, "Okay, I have some friends. I
got
to calm down."
Yeah, and I had a show in the tent.
How was that?
It was funny because when they emailed me a couple days ago and they're like, "Hey, we want to add you to the show in the tent," and I didn't really think about it, and I wrote back, I would love
the tent
to.
Right there on the square.
Yes. Ugh. And then when I saw it, I was like, "Oh, I used all caps on that love," and I really shouldn't have. It seats about 20-25 people, maybe only.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like bleacher seating. It's really not.
Is anybody there?
They had a hard time getting people in.
Are these people just walking by, stopping in for 5 minutes?
Yes, kids. I saw kids coming. I was like, no. If kids get sad in there, I'm out. I can't do it.
Could you do this thing where if you're booked in a place and you see kids, can you go, "Oh, I'm not going to do this anymore"?
Yeah.
Or do you feel like obligated to do it?
Well, the problem with kids is that the parent, I call them out because the thing is that the parent is always like, "Oh, don't worry about my kid. My kid's fine." It's like, I'm not really worried about the kid. I'm worried about you're ruining
the
whole
show. Yeah. Everyone's
like
looking
now
at that
everybody's
kid every time.
Like feeling weird when you're talking about something that a kid shouldn't hear. They're like, "Oh God," they're more concerned about that than about just sitting. It's an adult situation. I don't know why people don't like.
Yeah, I get the kid. Especially if you're like 12, 13. Yeah. I'm like, "You've heard these words. That's cool. You watch cable."
Yeah.
But everyone's staring at you every time I make a dirty joke.
Right.
And I want them to stare at me. Like, it's important.
Yes, exactly. It's important. And then if you talk to them, people think you're being a little mean to the kid. It's like, my whole thing is I have to just point out what's happening. That's what I do on stage.
I do these, the improv has those teen tours. You ever do those?
Oh, God, no. I
and it's like all 14-year-olds and a couple chaperones. But that, I just get filthy on that because it's all kids.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I've told them all. I was like, I'll do it, but I'm going to get extra dirty.
And they don't care.
Yeah, they're like, okay, the kids love it. The chaperones are okay usually. Yeah. No one knows what to do. I saw Orny Adams do that once, and he goes, hey, I'm warming up for a Tonight Show. I'm not going to pander to you. Just listen. It's like, Jesus, man.
He's hilarious.
Fuck, all right.
I did a corporate gig with him.
Really?
About, we had to do 20 minutes on yogurt. It was Dannon.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah, and afterwards there was a Q&A, and he spent the whole time telling them what they should do. Like, they're an expert in their field, you know, but he was, like, completely, like... And the thing was, he did well, so they probably would have loved him if he had just... hadn't said anything.
Yeah, exactly. He said Sebastian. All Sebastian did was take his bits and add the word yogurt to it.
Yeah, and killed it. Yeah. Everybody else is trying to, like, when I eat yogurt, I... Yeah.
Sebastian's like, I see these girls, and sometimes they're eating yogurt, but they walk along.
Right.
Yeah, he said, Sebastian went, like, here's how you do this. Mm-hmm. He's like a great corporate guy.
He's got so much confidence.
And he's so sort of clean, but not, like,
right,
intentionally clean. It's just right, like... You know, regally clean, which just happens.
Does he have that kind of confidence off stage? Is he that person? I've never really had a conversation with him.
No, I don't think so.
Because on stage, it's like a character.
Yeah,
it's like overconfident, right?
Yeah, I guess so. He seems like the clean dice,
right?
Like, it's the same thing, noticing things, being perturbed by regular life, but just doing it in a nice way instead of a horrible way.
Do you want to hear a funny dice story?
Probably.
Rich and I were at Jim Florentine's wedding.
Uh-huh. You know, did he marry that black chick from Stern?
That's funny.
Wait, Robin. Did he?
No.
Oh, okay. So that's
Is that how people know him? I didn't even know until I was at his wedding that's...
That it happened?
That he dated her.
I couldn't believe he did that.
For how long? When was
like
it?
Like a while.
But at least recently? A year
in the last 7 years?
No, I didn't know that. It's so weird.
It was crazy. When we're like, wait, what? Maybe it was fake. I don't know.
No, I think it was real. Yeah. He seems like a real dude. I mean, he doesn't...
Isn't Robin like a million?
Yeah, no. I think she's... Yeah. And she's a Cancer. Terrible for a sun sign. No, I don't know anything about it.
You're at Florentine's wedding.
So Dice was there. So some the comics that were at our table were Jim Norton and Artie Lang, me, Rich... And there's a couple other people there, and Dice, and
the gentleman's table.
And it was a little odd because he doesn't really have a great sense of humor. Like, when you're just talking to him.
Oh yeah, he doesn't really laugh at stuff, does he?
He doesn't. I think he doesn't know when jokes are being told. I'm not sure, but that was the feeling I got. Anyway, so that was just a dig at him. That's not has no part of the story. I just realized I'm just so at one point we're waiting for the entrees, which Rich calls entries.
Does he really?
A lot.
He's like, I don't like to use this word anymore because I think it offends the wrong kind of people, but he's retarded, right?
He very much. You know, they say that you're trying to recreate your family when you marry someone. You're trying to find somebody. And
your dad's a moron.
My sister is mentally handicapped.
Oh, really?
So I think I feel like a real bond with him over that.
I used to go on this O&A. I want to get back to the story. But I used to go on this O&A message boards for a while.
Yeah.
And just look or just like say hi once in a while if I went on. And then Rich would always go in there and defend himself, which is like number one.
This is what,
but do
this,
not do that. But every other word is misspelled. And I'm like, you're just opening up your laptop just gives them more fodder.
I know. This is he will not let anything go. I always say nothing rolls off his back, which is why he's great on radio because he always fights back. Like,
oh, yeah.
They bait him and he always goes for it, right? But, you know, he will go on message boards and how do you spell douche? No, it's like constant. Like, I've got to spell all the words for him. You know, I'm like, don't write them back.
Yeah. So you're at the table with Dice.
So they, you know, the other people at the wedding decide they all want to take a picture with Dice and the comedians. Yeah. And so the group starts getting bigger and bigger. First it's Dice and somebody. And the wedding photographers there taking a picture. So it's like a little, you know, scrum of, you know, photographers, but they're just people with their cell phones, and they so all now every comedian that's at the wedding is standing with Dice
taking pictures,
and everybody wants to take a picture with every single comedian and Dice. And so they start, I'm talking to somebody, and Artie starts like, Bonnie, get in the picture, and then Norton, come on. So I go over to get in the picture, and Dice, he's in the middle of the comedians. He walks through all the people that are taking the picture, and he goes, I'm not taking a picture with a girl, just what? The guys. Like, angrily, like,
really?
Like, storms out of the picture taking area. Two things. He could have left the other way, which would have been a little
easier,
a little less like dramatic.
I know what he's doing. You know? He's trying to be dramatic. What's the other thing?
And the other thing was, is that he could have just taken the picture. This is, I think, what a normal person would have done.
Yeah.
Oh, like angry about it. Like, oh, I don't want girls in it. Take the picture and then be like, can you step out now? I just want a picture with just the guys.
Dice does this thing where he just tries to fuck with people. He sees an opening in order to fuck with them.
Was he, though? I don't.
Yeah, it's not. He has nothing to do with you.
He's serious about it.
If there were a bunch of girls and a guy stepped in, he'd be like, no guys, just me. He'd do the same thing. It's like, how can I fuck with you?
Right.
He would do this thing where he wouldn't take pictures for a while at the Comedy Store with fans. But then one time someone's like, Dice, can we get a picture? And he's like, sure. Ari, you take the picture. And he hands me their camera, but then he holds it in my hand and stares at me for like 2 full seconds and then drops away. And I was like, that was weird.
Why? Like, is he trying to tell you something?
I think so. So I went and took the picture and then just like moved it slightly and like cut him out of it. And then handed it back to them. And they're like, oh, thank you. It was one of those wind-up cameras, so you couldn't see.
Right, right.
And then I didn't know what to say, so I didn't say a word. And he goes, did you get me in it at all? And I was like, no. And he's like, okay, good. I was like, all right, cool. I read that right.
Right. I'd have the same thing where I'd be like, oh, I don't know.
I'm supposed but to
I
do something.
I do. I take fan photos like that all the time.
What? Cut people out?
Cut the
get them in front
out.
Of the light so oh. they get, so no one can see anything. So annoying. You can't do it with digital cameras anymore.
Because they look right away.
Yeah. Let's talk about this thing.
So anyway, then he. Oh. So then I, you know, what? His wife came over to the table and she goes.
Valerie.
She goes. Did Dice ask you to leave the picture? I go. Well, he didn't. He didn't ask.
He demanded it and shoved through.
Yeah, he did it in a much more juvenile way. And then she goes. Oh, was Dice being a bad boy?
What?
I was like, hey, I don't really. I'm starting to see too much of what goes on inside your relationship. I go, no, don't worry about it. I've contacted a blogger. But
that's always blogger. Joking. That's what you tell on. Tell to the bloggers.
And then I tweeted, you know, something like, Dice refuses to take picture with female comedian. Alert the media. Uh-huh. And I guess somehow he saw that tweet. He went on O&A. And I didn't hear it, but I guess he was like, upset that I had tweeted that, like I was really? Trying to get him in trouble. But I was like, does he not know the alert the media is a
joke?
That's pretty standard.
I hate when comics don't know when another comic is doing something they think is ridiculous. It's like, then probably it's a joke, right? It's probably a joke. Then
comedian, they try to get attention by doing things.
Eleanor told me he did this thing at some airport once. He saw these two like bull dyke lesbians, and they were waiting for their bags. Everyone's waiting for their bags. He starts yelling at Eleanor, who he was going out with at the time. Yeah. He goes, get the fucking bags. I'm standing here like an asshole. They're coming around the carriage. Go fucking do something. And she plays the game. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, Dice. I didn't know. He goes, you're a fucking dummy. Go do it. And then she like walks off, and the two lesbians are like looking at him like angry. And he goes, chicks, you dudes know what I'm talking about.
Oh, see, that I have a whole new light on the thing now, because that's hilarious.
Yeah, he just likes to fuck with people.
So I like that he likes to fuck with people. Like I think everyone at the wedding was like, this guy's a little weird. Like, because people kept coming over to me and being like, I didn't like the way he did that. You know, like now I'm a victim of some situation.
I love that. That's how much people defend. They wait until the situation's done and then say they don't stand for it.
I'm on your side, by the way. Yeah. No, somebody came with t-shirts, Team Bonnie.
Free Bonnie.
But no, it didn't, but it makes me feel better that it was a joke, like a, you know, because he didn't say anything.
He never gives.
After.
That's what I mean when I was talking before. Where it's like you got to smile after, before you walk away.
A little wink. Yeah. Can you imagine when Dice starts winking
at people? Really overtly.
Get the fucking bags. Wink.
I'm checking the eye. Look, I'm joking. So you're a chick in comedy.
I am. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I was just talking to somebody yesterday about this. I don't know who, some new comic. But she was like, yeah, it's nice. I get to go on because, you know, I'm a cute girl. They put me on at open mics wherever I want.
Annie Letterman.
It wasn't her.
Oh. There's so many cute girls. When I started, it was a little bit still.
You're one of the few.
Anomaly.
The cute girls found out you can fail out of acting and head straight to comedy and be a superstar.
And you don't even have to be that cute. Like, you can be a seven and be pretty high on
the seven's above. Yeah, six is fine.
Yeah.
Six people will put you on.
Right.
An LA
you can
six.
Totally have a pot gut. No one cares.
Totally have a what?
Pot gut.
Pot gut.
Yeah. You can have a little round tummy. No, but tight shirt, round tummy. Good to go. You're still at the top of the...
What have you found? Is it easier or harder? Like, especially in the beginning.
I honestly, I feel like I didn't have any real differences.
Where'd you start, LA?
I started briefly in Canada, then New York was really, you know, where I pretty much started. Then I came to this festival, the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Yeah. I saw your Canadian comedy special on Comedy Central once.
Yes, so that's very early.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
They played it on Comedy Central, right? They pick it up or HBO? I feel like I saw it in America. I think they did play one of them.
I did two. Like within my first year or two of comedy, I did two half-hour comedy specials for Canada.
Those comedy
specials. And now
things.
I can't even do a half hour. Like how does that happen?
Really?
I mean.
They won't give you one?
No, I mean, literally I can't do the time.
That's not true, is it?
No, but it is weird to think like, what was I...
Oh, yeah.
How did I get all those jokes in such a short amount of time?
Do you care more? Or are you just not willing to throw anything out? You're like, even if it's shitty, I'll just do it.
I haven't watched those specials in a long time. I imagine there's a lot of...
Stuff you'd be cringy about?
Yeah.
Probably, right?
Yeah. So then...
I was always super showy. Try to, like, yell and make sure the crowd, like, gets it. Talk with a really high-pitched voice.
Wow.
Just something.
You don't seem like that guy.
No, I've calmed down. Yeah, I didn't know how to get their attention.
Right.
I told Mitt, the owner of the comedy store, I was like, I have to get their attention. She goes, you're just getting your own attention. I was like, you're an idiot. And I threw a temper tantrum in the main room.
Which got you a lot of attention.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, let's talk about girls in comedy.
Well,
this is like an ongoing argument among comedians for like decades.
Yeah, but you know, honestly, I feel like I felt like women took it too seriously. Like I always felt like when guys would go, "Women aren't funny," that they were kind of just busting our balls because I didn't feel it myself. Honestly,
you didn't feel them saying that about you. You mean?
No, and in fact, when they did say it, I never put myself in that category. I never thought it was
right.
They're talking about other people. I don't know. That's some kind of weird ego I have.
I know a lot of girls that have said, yeah, it's true. Women are, I'm different, but a lot of girls aren't.
Right. Funny. Well, I just never cared about what they said because it didn't, like, I didn't feel like I was being, I mean, when I got to New York, I got in at all the clubs.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to LA, I got in at all the clubs. I could have went on the road a lot more. I found it a little bit more in writing, like with, I had a meeting.
What do you mean?
Well, because when I was in LA, I did a lot of writing jobs, and I felt like that was more of a boys' club.
Writing,
yeah, oh, really? Because
I always thought that should be like they should have no idea who they're hiring if it's just off packets.
Well, what they do is they get it in their heads that there's no funny women or women can't write comedy, right? And so when they're reading somebody's submission, that's a girl.
They're reading it a little bit harder
than if it was a guy. Like, they might read your submission with a sort of a silly flair, but when they're reading girls, they might take it a little more seriously.
They should read it without knowing who wrote it.
Right.
They really should.
Right.
There's something to that. Like, not being in the mood to laugh makes you not laugh.
Right. Like, oh, boy, here we go.
Yeah. And you're going to find out.
Something that's supposed to be just like a little throwaway. They're like, what is this?
My first girlfriend was super mad at me after we broke up. And she was, like, angry and, like, real short with everything, and then she would like not laugh at my jokes, and that was the thing I liked most about her, is just hearing her laugh. And it was like I'd say a joke, she's like, oh yeah,
oh
my
god,
oh fuck, it hurts, it's so painful. But yeah, I'm sure they do that to you guys to some degree, of just like reading it.
But then it's like anything, once you're in, you're in, you know?
Right.
So but I did, this is a bit of a humble brag story.
Okay, yeah.
I honestly told this to Rich the other day because I remembered it, but then I was like, I can never tell that story because it paints me in a certain light. But what happened was is that I was going to write for the MTV Movie Awards.
Okay.
And I think the guy's name is Joel. What's his last name?
Schumacher.
No, anyway. So okay. He does the roasts and stuff now, the executive.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, okay. Joel Gallen.
Okay.
Okay. So I'd written my submission. My friend and I worked on it together. She was a comedian too, Stephanie Wilder. And he really liked it, and he was very positive about it. And we came in and had an interview with him. And right away, this is where the humble brag part starts. He was like, oh, no, I can't hire you guys. You guys are too pretty. There's no way. There's no way anybody would get any work done around here.
Really?
I mean, keep in mind, this is a long time ago.
You're really pretty.
But I was like... and he really felt like he was giving a compliment, like he was being nice to us, but he was like, yeah, no.
But he was seriously like, I can't hire because nobody's going to do anything.
But he did not hire us. No, he wouldn't hire us. We were like,
I remember when I was little, there was some story on the radio about some construction worker girl who got fired because she was too pretty and people weren't working.
And they were like falling off the scaffolding.
Yeah, no one was dying. Like, people were getting hurt. People were hitting themselves in the head with shit. She was just too hot, which I was like, it's not right to fire somebody for being attractive, but I get it. I get it.
Yeah. You're ruining the job.
Like, unless we hire all hot chicks, then I could.
The thing was, we weren't like, we didn't have makeup on. It's not like we went in there with, like, you know, our heels.
Wouldn't they? The thing is, wouldn't people be more likely to, like, try to write better jokes to impress the pretty women?
Well, this happened too one time. I was working on this job, and the head writer I was the only girl for 2 years on that job. And the head writer got, or the showrunner guy got drunk at, you know, we'd go out drinking after, and got really drunk, and I heard him going to all the guys, he goes, the girl is the best writer we have, you guys. Like, he was so disgusted with them. He was giving them, like...
like, this, we've gone too
this
bad.
Is this where we're at? Okay? But I remember being so, like, filled
happy
with
about
pride,
it.
Like, you're hearing like, that. Right. It's like...
He clearly doesn't want to give me that compliment, but he's doing it. So
oh,
nice.
It was, like, so maddening. I was trying to get them to do better. This is our... Oh.
I always thought too with girls in comedy when like girls aren't funny, and it's a big argument, but I wondered like how much girls actually rate themselves as a female comic.
Right. I mean, that's the thing is like I feel like some – I just think women instead in general sometimes they genderize things. Is that even a word? But they put things into gender groups too much. Like the Daniel Tosh thing when he, you know, said, wouldn't it be funny if somebody came in and raped you right now? To me, that didn't have anything to do with her gender. That just had to do with a guy dealing with a heckler. And I feel like if a guy was there and said it, he would have said that same thing or something equally offensive to him.
Yeah, that sort of makes sense to me. And like, what if they would have said that to a guy? It would be fine.
It would be fine. Nobody would care.
Yeah, no one care. Even if the guy blogged
about it. They don't want double standards, but they do. It's like, you know, or like, you know, at some point in comedy, you as a dude, you have to kind of prove yourself. You have to go on where they put you on. You have to take shitty spots. You have to go on late. And I feel like sometimes, you know, like women, I hear them all the time, like, oh, I always have to go on first. It's so maddening. And it is maddening, but it's maddening for everybody.
What do you mean? Why? Oh, whoever has to go on
first. Whoever has to go on first. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you don't get the good spot, but then it's like.
Yeah, but they say, oh, it's because of girls. I put early. And it's like, no, maybe it's because you're new.
Right,
like,
right.
Look at the rest
of the
lineup. I
think sometimes girls don't realize that, like, no, like, you see these amazing comics like Todd Barry and David Tell and stuff in New York. You know, I remember when I first got to New York, they were the shit then.
Oh,
like,
right.
They've been the shit for a long fucking time. They go to the clubs every fucking night.
Yeah,
and
why would
like,
you think you'd be...
Yeah, why do you think that you should get a better spot than that guy? I mean...
Girls always said that about the Comedy Store. You didn't spend much time there, did you?
And hardly ever. I never got past, really.
Yeah.
I did some shows there, but I think they were special.
Belly rooms or main room stuff, whatever. Them. Yeah, but girls would always say they hate girls at the Comedy Store. That's in the LA scene. That's what always... But I was like, are you sure it's not just they hate everyone?
Right.
And you're so used to being welcomed with, like, open arms that when you're not, that it's like, oh, they must hate women.
Well, there's also, like, this thing that happens is that you get told when you start, especially if you're a pretty girl, that things are going to be really easy for you.
Well, didn't you get up a lot more because of that?
I don't know why I got up. I didn't question
have nothing
it.
To
but everybody's using to. Everybody's using whatever tool that they have at their disposal.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't have a problem with girls using that.
Right.
I was like, get it. You have a friend. Your father's an actor.
Like,
go for it.
I didn't try to change who I was in order to, you know, I didn't like, you know,
pretty
put
up,
on, yeah, put on a
guys.
Skirt and... I mean, I flirt with guys because that's like that's part of my personality.
Though. Yeah.
Like is to, I don't know if you call it flirting or just being like.
There's a thing that girls do. You touch an arm a little too much.
Yeah, I touch a little
Would you do
one
that?
One time
with
I was
like,
doing it to a guy at the wedding right in front of Rich and he's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just patting the back of his neck. Is that inappropriate?
You're trying to get that guy interested in you in some way. Not like that, like fully, but just like, I want him to be into this as a person.
Right. No, I definitely, and I have a skill in doing
it. Sure, right? You must have learned it over time.
I know, and it's, as I get older, I realize I've relied on it way more than I like
move.
To think. Yeah. Yeah. Because now sometimes I'm like, I'm an old
like,
lady doing this. It's weird.
You're not an old lady. How old are you now?
I don't.
All right, sorry. I asked Barry Sobel that once.
Oh, God.
When I started, I was working the cover booth at the store.
Do you really think he's going to go 55?
No, but I didn't know. He looked young back then.
Oh, this was...
And then I saw a picture of him upstairs in the offices with like Jimmy Walker, like back then, and all these like old people. I was like, dude, how old are you? I saw this picture upstairs. He goes, you don't ask someone that. It's ridiculous. You don't ask a person that question. And I was like, what?
I thought you were allowed
to ask. I'm from Maryland. What do you mean?
I want to be able to just say my age and not be weirded out.
Why are you
embarrassed
why are you
about it? Because I feel shame. I don't know why.
My grandmother always said that she wouldn't tell people her weight because she had control over that. Her age was out of her hands. So fuck it. Here's when I was born. I'm 38. Well, I know what you mean. At some point, you're going to feel people think of you as old.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. As like being a comedian, I've always felt like it was fine for when I'm young. But now I'm getting older. I feel like, oh, really? I'm like, this is what I do for a living?
It's
like,
a young person's thing. Going on the road, doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's a 27-year-old kind of game.
Right. And then but the weird thing about comedy is that you're never really that good at 27.
Right.
Like when it's your time, it's not even your time because you have to wait until you're 40
good enough
before you
develop
your
technique.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like if you don't get a name before that, then you're fucked. I see all those people like that are hitting 40 and they're just good comics, but like you're going to be irrelevant in 3 years through a comic club. Irrelevant.
Horrible. And the thing is that you see the young people coming up and they know.
They know.
They
like,
know they're bypassing you.
You're a wounded antelope.
Yes.
You're the fucking old lion.
Yes, and they're like, you know, they stop to say hello as a treat to you. Thank you.
Has anybody ever done that? Anybody demeaned you with like, hey, you know, when I started, you were actually one of somebody I looked up to.
No, I don't even think anybody knows who I am. It's like so annoying. I could start over now.
And just what?
Just be like under a new alias
new name?
Or something. Like, oh.
You don't go to clubs much, huh?
Well, I mean, I had a child, so I took a backseat to it. I made the movie instead.
Yeah.
Women Aren't Funny.
So what's that movie about?
So the movie is I went to find out if women are funny or not, sort of put this whole debate to bed.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I did it was because I wanted to make a movie, and that's a topic that everybody always
talks
about.
We always talk
about it. All the time, so I felt like, you know, you could get people to, you know, and it's in my world, so I could get people that I knew to do it. But I always sort of felt like it was a joke. And then somewhere during the making of the movie, I was like, these people really don't think women are funny.
Yeah, I have a problem with women.
You really do?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Let's hear it.
Well, one, I just sort of, there's a part of me just hates all of you.
Right.
Because I don't know, you know, over the years, whatever. But yeah, I see a lot of women that, especially prettier women that since I've started, that are like, oh, they're just bad.
Right.
And they're being put on these things, and it's just annoying. Just sort of cutesy. Every time you see like a variety, tend to watch.
Oh,
those, like,
I know.
Two girls that
I
are on
know.
There, they're like, they're objectively terrible.
Right.
But
they're not, it's not doing anybody any favors because it's not helping the cause of
what?
Funny women.
Oh, no, it's not. It's hurting the cause of funny women.
Well, like when you see new faces, what you'll see is a guy who's been doing it 10, 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then a girl's been doing it 2.5 months.
Yeah. Well, that's where this stuff comes from.
And then it's like people are like, well, girls just aren't as good as guys. Well, somehow the industry has allowed him to.
So you're comparing people that are well into it with people that are like,
yeah.
Because of women being
able
to.
You got Joe List, let's say.
Yeah.
Who's a very funny comedian. He's been doing it, I don't know, let's say 10 years.
Okay.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
But,
yeah.
You know, and then other people who've been doing it, like girls have been doing it like 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, I know. I remember being here 1 year, and there was a girl that had never done a real show. She'd only
really,
yes.
God damn it! She's being invited to the Montreal Comedy Festival, the most important festival in North America.
Yeah,
fuck.
She was hella cute, but
that helps.
Yeah, but then people are like, "Well,
I just saw that girl Jamie Lee. Do you know her?
I don't know her.
She's a New York comic, I guess, probably the alt scene, but I don't know. And then we saw her and Emily Heller And we're walking away, and I was like, that girl Jamie Lee is really cute. And people were like, yeah, she actually just lost weight, or she just got better looking. I was like, wow. Oh, and she got new faces the same year.
Yes. Weird. Right?
Weird.
I don't... Right? So they're judging, you know, they're judging a different...
But I'm like, yeah, that's what you got to go for, I guess. But then if you looked ugly, do you think ugly girls have it harder? Because people like,
well, I think there's it's always like a trade-off for everything. Being a girl has its trade-off. Obviously, you can get things easier, but you know, maybe people will not think you're as funny. Yeah. But... You know, being an ugly girl, you probably get taken more seriously, but you might not get as much.
Because they're not going
to
like...
Because they like to put pretty people on television.
I remember I used to go out with this comic, this pretty comic, and she was... we were driving. She maybe started like a year before me. We were driving by the Comedy Store, the open mic, when they all like stand outside waiting. And she's like, why are those people waiting out there? And I was like, fuck you. Fuck right. you. Right. I waited out there for years. Right. You never know what it's like to wait for an open mic. Right. You motherfucker.
Well, I got a development deal at this festival the first year that I did this festival.
Yeah.
And I hadn't been doing comedy very long, 2 years or 2.5 years or something. And I bombed my first two jokes, but I'd been so used to bombing. I mean, that I didn't care. I was just like, oh, you know, New York is hard. It's a hard fucking. And then by the end of the show, I'd gotten the audience. But so anyway, I got, you know, a lot of people were, you know, trying to talk to me at meetings, get a deal, whatever, and I ended up getting
another
a
humble
deal.
Brag.
No. I didn't know that that wasn't happening for everybody else.
Oh, really?
At the festival, like I didn't realize, like, oh, I'm having a good experience. This is, you know,
yeah.
It's weird because you don't know. You know, it's just like, you know, when you just think, oh, everybody.
This is the way things are
for everybody. Uh-huh. This isn't as hard as people make it out to be.
When I got to college, I was like, I met other people with like divorced parents. Who I didn't really know any of those people growing up, and like not upper middle class, any like lower class people. And I was like, oh, you have to get a job? Ew, what?
Rich people, it's so funny because rich people have no clue. Like, they'll be like, you'll be like, oh, I'm broke. And they're like, well, just go get some lunch or something and, you know, relax. You know, you're like, no, but I don't have any money. Well, just, I don't know, go get a massage. You'll feel better. Yeah. No, but.
No, no money. I don't have any money.
Yeah, like they can't understand it.
There's this, well, then why are less women in comedy? Because there are less women in comedy, right?
Well, there are less women in comedy. It's not something, I think that it's a more natural thing for a guy to do.
To go into.
Still. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's obviously changing, but, you know, it's first of all, you have to be by yourself a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and women tend to travel in packs.
Yeah.
You can't just be going to club after club, you know, even if you're in New York.
Yeah.
You have to go to all those clubs by yourself,
yeah, like
wait in the back.
A few people are willing to do it girl-wise, but it's like 90% guys that are doing that.
Yes. And you're late at night. I mean, there's like... Uh-huh. You know, you're waiting for your 1:30 spot at the Cellar, you know?
So that's...
Girls are less likely to enjoy that lifestyle,
right.
Probably. And then if you go on the road, it's a bizarre life. I mean, first of all, it's hard to make money as a opening act.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you're living a poverty-stricken lifestyle and traveling by yourself.
And every comic will try to fuck you.
Every comic is... Yeah, it doesn't matter
like
what size
like
or shape or
10.
What you look like. They're all... Yeah.
They'll at least put something out there, like just a feeler.
But then you're lonely, so you do it.
Have you fucked a lot of the openers? Like not openers, like headliners when you were like opening or middling?
You know, I didn't go on the road very much because I ended up writing instead.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't want to ever hang out with anybody other than comics.
Yeah, it's
so I ended up having a lot of. When I say a lot, I mean like in the hundreds. not just not get crazy, but I dated comics pretty much exclusively.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And you never said like that's it, no more comics. I'm not dating any more comics.
I don't even understand when people say it now. When girls go, I would never date a comic. I'm like, what? Who are you going to listen to a guy talk about his dentistry practice?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to listen to the other person sometimes.
They're way more fun to be around.
First of all, comics. Yeah, they even when Rich and I are having like a fucking huge meltdown, blowout fight.
Yeah.
We can get the other person to laugh in the middle of it if we say
really?
Something funny. Yeah. I mean, we'll get mad about it. We'll be like, can you stop being funny? This is serious. But
because you can't help it.
But you just do. You say things and then later you're like, remember you said that? You got to do that. That's funny. You know?
Yeah.
But what's all we do is talk about comedy. Why would you ever want to talk about anything else?
Besides comedy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I try finding sometimes, I see people and I'm like, are we talking about this too much? Is this boring anybody? It's all I want to bother with.
It's all I want to do.
Yeah.
That's why you have to marry,
I'm dating this chick now a little bit, and and she listens to, like, she's a big podcast listener. So she always wants to talk about the podcast she hears or the comedian's podcast she hears. And she goes, you don't want to talk about this. I was like, no, I do.
Yes.
Tell me what's on it. And I totally want to talk about exactly this.
Right.
Like, you're not boring me at all.
I know. It is funny. We're like, if you're flipping through TV,
stand-up comes on.
Stand-up, you got to watch it. It doesn't matter.
If you flip by Letterman and they're about like, this next comic is, you have to stop and watch, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be 4 minutes. I'm definitely going to watch this guy's set.
And half the time you're like, oh my God, what is this guy doing on there? Oh, man.
There is that. Okay. I want to see this thing now. Oh, that does look like me. Amir. Who's Amir? That does look like me. Wow. So that's why girls don't go into it, because they're just, it's not their lifestyle.
It's not a great lifestyle, and I think you have to be really smart to be a comic, even though it doesn't seem like it.
What does that have
it
to do with women?
Well, I think women who are smart tend to get funneled into other professions.
They get better jobs. They
people want
lawyers.
Them to be, if you're a smart woman, people want you to be an engineer. They like actively pursue you to do other professions.
Do you ever see that 60 Minutes thing on pretty people trying to get jobs with the exact same qualifications as non-pretty people?
No, what happened?
They get the jobs.
They do.
Yeah, and people with less qualified like resumes that are prettier also get the jobs.
Wow.
It's like, it doesn't matter what it is, they get the jobs.
Wow.
It was like garbage man, it was like intelligence related jobs, it was like all sorts.
Don't be too hot, right? There is a tipping point.
Yeah, I guess so. If you come in like cleavage or like big boobs, like Coco, yeah, it'd probably be hard. So there's that, and there's also women, a lot of women, they relationship out of comedy. You know, once they match up with somebody, they're like, "Oh, I'm done with this thing because I can get the maybe it's because they need attention a certain way and they get it."
Well, I think too, there's like, I mean, I see this with guys. There's certain guys that just like being on stage.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're wacky and they're crazy. And to be, I think, you know, to be a really good comic, you have to be able to have the discipline to write a joke and also the willingness to like perform it, right?
And to wait 4 hours to go on stage for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to really love it. It's like you have to be a nerd about it. And I think for some women, that need for attention, I think there's more women that go into the profession that fall into that category where they just want to be wacky on stage.
Right.
Instead of taking
the time to actually
loving the art of crafting a joke.
Yeah. My friend, you know David Taylor? You remember him?
Yeah.
He said...
Yes.
Yeah. Did you used to fight with him? Yeah, he's a meanie. Yeah. I've had to defend that guy so many times.
I don't remember now what he said to me, but he said something that was very upsetting to me.
Roast?
Oh, I know. He was very... No. I got Letterman, and I went into to do... Somebody said you could go in and run your Letterman set. I was doing Letterman, like, the next night or two nights.
Yeah, he's such an asshole sometimes. Yeah, go ahead.
And... So I went up to him and I was like, hey, I think he was running the show. I might be remembering this wrong. And I said, I was told I could come run a set here. And he was like, what? I go, well, I'm doing Letterman tomorrow. And they said I could come run a set. And he goes, okay, fine. Go ahead. I go, what? The show hadn't even started. People were still sitting. He just walked onto the stage and he goes, she's doing Letterman tomorrow, everybody. And then I went up and I did my set. It was it was embarrassing. I didn't even know. I was like, why didn't I just walk out?
Amagis?
And then afterwards, he went back on to start the show, get the lights right. You know,
really?
I mean, it was like, and then he goes, I remember as I was leaving, he was saying like, you know, something that I obviously fucked somebody.
That was
Letterman.
It.
To get that set.
Yeah, he said he made some joke. He was so proud of it the next day. Some joke about how you sleep to the top of like two different things. I don't know what comparison he made.
It was something. But it was like, what did I ever do to you?
That's what happens, I think, when all these guys are starting comedy. There's this like weird competitive thing.
But I'd already been doing it 100 years longer than him. I totally deserved that Letterman. There's nothing. That set was fucking
When people
great.
Start, they think there must be a reason why I'm not doing well,
but
he's probably
been doing comedy a year,
probably 2 years tops. Yeah, but it's still like, I know I'm funny, so what's going on here? And then never the thought comes like, you're not as funny as you will be 5 years from now,
right?
Like, don't
Or even the fact that, like, you know, being funny is not necessarily the number one reason people get chosen for a set. Like, you know, people who do well on television are joke writers.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Hedberg types.
Yeah.
That's so much easier to cut things and to, like...
Yeah. But also, you know, comics who are, like, you know, demonstrative and, like, you know, high energy do so much better on the road. But that's because you're dealing with...
Drunk yokels.
Drunken people. It's like you have to get that attention. But when you're on TV, it's like all right there. So you want to be smaller.
Close up with your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you want to, you, it's like they're already just staring at a TV. You don't have to get their attention. So you can just tell whatever joke that you want to tell.
Yeah. How much of that do you think chicks have to deal with?
What?
Angry male comedians.
But mad at you for existing. Have to, I mean, that's like, that's an example of where, yes, my gender played a role in that story, but I'm sure every guy has its own story of some...
Chris D'Elia types got that also. Like pretty men.
Oh.
I don't know who you know. You know pretty guys.
Oh, I know who he is. Yeah.
That guy from New York who used to run Caroline's a bunch.
Yes, Colin Kane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, those are pretty people. Right. And when they get stuff, everyone's like, oh, well, there it is. That explains why I'm not getting it. Julian McCullough, yeah.
Yeah, people are like, all right.
Yeah, and that must be for everybody pretty.
Right.
Because people don't want to accept. That's like, how can this not be happening to me?
Right. But I don't, I feel like now I've put myself in some category. I'm not.
What,
I
mean, pretty person?
No.
Just you know where you are.
A normal.
You know your ranking. What would you say your number is? I'm not going to tell you either way.
In comedy, I probably rate pretty high, but in real life,
yeah. How about 13 years ago? At like the prime of your prime, where did you think your number was?
Yeah, probably even worse than now because I really did nothing. I really just wore a backward baseball cap all the time.
Really?
So
I remember you being really pretty.
Really? It's so weird. I mean, I don't mean to be like, really?
What?
See, I couldn't quite hear you on that last one. But yeah, no, I've never really thought of myself like that.
Really?
Yeah, well, like I'm a little bit lesbian-y looking.
And, you don't try to do it up? You don't try to like
I do
yourself.
More now because I'm fighting with
wrinkle lines and
serious
shit like that.
Age issues. Yeah.
Fuck, it sucks. Every time I find a gray hair, I'm like, fuck, do I fight this? Or do I just accept it? I guess I don't care.
See, this is why I try a lot harder now to be good and not get in trouble, you know, police-wise. Because if I go to prison, you'll see, like, for 3 months in prison, I'll have almost all up. Gray hair.
Oh, really? You dye it? Nice. You should dye it. You definitely should.
Can you imagine? Just, like, those women that just let themselves...
Whoa, was there a fright? What happened in prison? You're like, no, I just didn't have access to L'Oreal.
Instead of that phone call, do you think I could get...
So this is what David said. He said that women, in the beginning, are way more used to... They're better right away because they're more used to people looking at them. They're used to having all eyes on them,
right? But it is it's a weird thing because I don't think they're used to all eyes on them in that kind of environment.
Like, oh yeah, that part's different. But just the idea of like they're all looking at me and putting like I don't know. I had a problem where it was like this is fucking strange and I'm not comfortable. Really?
Oh yeah.
You probably are an introvert,
I think,
huh?
I really had to work. That was the hardest thing I had to work at. Like I loved writing the jokes and like. I mean, I get probably as good a feeling writing the joke as I do performing it. So that was always my number one thing. But then, I was like horrible. I was terrible at... I still am not that great at selling my own material.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's not my best thing. Because I get very self-conscious.
Why on stage?
Yeah.
About what? How you look and stuff?
No, just that people are looking at me. I mean, I have like social anxiety. So that...
Maybe it is an introvert thing. Do you really have social anxiety? Like take pills for it?
No. Just I medicate with drugs and alcohol.
Oh, really? That helps. Do you... okay. How come you don't ever take pills?
I don't know. I'm just never... Even sometimes if I have a headache, I forget that I'm allowed to take...
Allowed to take aspirin?
Yeah.
Really? Why? Pills help so much for everything.
I know. I'll complain about it for like hours and Rich will be like, did you take a fucking aspirin?
And you're like, no.
I don't know. I didn't.
So what did you learn in the movie then about like girls not
so
funny?
So what we found out is that women are not funny.
Did you?
No.
Is that, like, you really the overall, think that could I don't be know. I was what?
Well, I never really took the whole thing seriously. I was making more fun of the actual argument because what happens is that, you know, there's, you can't say, like, even when they were like, oh, finally women have shown that they can be funny, like Bridesmaids or Tina Fey or whatever, it's dismissive of all the women that were around before, like, that were funny.
Yeah. You know? A lot of it's too, I think it's studios and networks where they're just like, we need to find some pretty woman who can do a couple jokes and throw on. And it's like, how about follow the Roseanne model and find someone who actually can make good jokes and knows how to sell stuff. And then people will watch. Don't worry. Yeah, they always turn to actors for fucking comedy.
I know.
And I'm like, we do this nonstop.
I know. I know, it is weird. And a lot of times on a show, they'll put a, like, they'll use a guy comedian.
Yeah.
And then
guy comedians are allowed to be fat.
Oh, you
girl
can
comedians
be.
Are really not on TV.
Right.
So it's then you get the ones that are just.
So the girl comedians that are funny are not allowed on.
Did you wave to yourself in the reflection?
The girl comedians that are funny are not allowed on American television. So you don't get to see them.
Yeah. I mean, some of them are too hideous.
They're just gross.
They're just gross.
Like, are you like whom?
All the. But they get on the fat black chick.
Yeah. Oh, fat subset. And black can go together.
Yeah.
You can be that. Yeah.
Yeah. Fat white chicks, I guess, don't really get on. The Moniques and the Lonnie Loves of the world and all those girls.
Right.
Like the angry fat, whatever.
Right. I hate me some skinny bitches.
Yeah. Yeah, that gets on TV. But Jessica Kirsten, that does not get on TV.
Right.
People are like, beat it.
Oh.
So the thing is, when people say women aren't funny, I think it's just, they're not really ever saying like, no woman has ever been funny.
Right, they're just saying in general,
like, here's what
more men are able. Well, women don't do themselves any favors. They're strident a lot of times. They take up these causes. I mean, I don't know how. What, like, when do you need to rule the whole world, and then you're going to be like satisfied? Like, do men have to be like puddles on the ground as you march through them before you're like, okay, we're equal? You know what I mean? It's like, enough already. Like. It drives me kind of nuts because it's like, well, there's doctors and lawyers, and I mean, there's all kinds of strippers now doing those. No, but there's women in every single profession. It's like, you know, and they still fucking get mad. It's still not enough for them, and it drives
me. My problem with girls,
nuts.
They're always playing the defenseless card. That's like a thing that I don't. It's like if they get into an argument with someone, they want a man to defend them a lot,
right?
And I'm like, it's a verbal conflict. You should be even with me on this.
Right.
Like, you don't need anyone backing you up.
Right.
But if there's an argument at a party, boy, girl, there's a million boys that back up that girl.
This is the whole problem, is that there's like, there's too many twists in it. Like, feminists have somehow made a guy buying dinner on a date like a thing that's if he doesn't do it, he's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, but what do you mean?
But yet you want to get paid the same amount at work. The reason you don't get paid the same amount at work is because the reason men got paid more was because they took care of the financial load. Now, you still want men to take care of the financial load, but you want to be paid equal amounts. I mean, it's like, there's too many twists on everything. It's like, you know, it's like that woman, like, you know, with the Daniel Tosh thing and you know.
So you didn't get offended by that at all?
I will always side with the comedian, not the heckler. You don't. I would like to ask that lady what she thought was going to happen when she yelled out during his set, in which, you know, he is a highly paid comedian. She knew who he was. Yeah. She had to have known who he was. He was on a comedy stage. Okay, so I don't think you should be thinking your life is at risk while you're listening to this person. It's like a movie at this point, or whatever. And then, when she yells out, you know, no rape jokes are funny, I would like to know what she really thought was going to happen. Did she think he was going to, like, bend down and have an intellectual discourse with her on what's appropriate or not appropriate during a comedy set?
I've never seen one of those bloggers, and any time they write about this comedian's wrong, Dane Cook, Tosh, whatever it is, they've never said, I shouldn't have yelled out.
It's like they don't take it.
Wrong.
Your behavior, you started with the offensive behavior.
Yeah.
That's how it started. You interrupted a performance. I mean, who could possibly think that was okay?
The way she wrote, though, was like, and the way he said five people should come rape me, I had to get out of there before.
I know. She really thought that five people were going to rape her, because that's what happens at comedy clubs. People rape.
Everyone's just watching. Do girls have to live with that at all? The idea, like, well, maybe something will break out. Let me get out of here.
Well,
defenseless.
No, I mean, it is a freaky, scary thing. You think about it all the time. You think, like, you know, oh my God, is this where I get raped?
Like, if you get off the subway late at night.
Oh, yes. You're always thinking about it.
That guy behind you was going
to. Yes, you're always thinking about it. But that doesn't mean that that's a more important fear than...
murder?
Yes. Or that, like, okay, let's say a guy is in war. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he watches his buddy get killed, I mean, or whatever. And he comes back and he's in a comedy show and somebody's, like, making jokes about war. Does that guy then have the right to stand up and be like, no, because this is a real fucking thing in my life? It's like, yeah, we get that. These are real things in people's lives, and then we make jokes about them.
I remember someone making a 9/11 joke like a year or two later.
Yeah.
And some guy's like, my brother was in 9/11. And then he was just like, oh, well, then I guess that's why it's not funny for you, huh?
Right.
It's like, shut the fuck up. Who cares?
I mean, you kind of have like an emotional thing. Like you get why somebody would be upset. Or if,
how much
if,
what happened to walking out quietly? What happened to suffering in silence?
You don't yell in a movie.
No,
I don't get it. You, if Daniel Tosh was on a movie screen, they would have just walked out.
Yeah.
But
and what I hate it too is that all the people like picking up that blogger, like all the people writing about it afterwards, they were all like, well, if you're skilled like Louis C.K., you can do it. But someone less skilled like Daniel Tosh, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
They keep going, it wasn't funny. Okay, that should never come into the argument. That should never come into the argument. No, first of all,
Daniel Tosh is a really funny comedian.
He's a really funny comedian.
So, like, what are you talking? Everyone laughed at that joke.
Right.
Everyone laughed, except the one girl.
And it seemed funny to me.
Yeah.
When I heard it, I was like, if I was there, I can understand how it was going down. But the thing is like, it's like, even if you didn't think it was funny, it doesn't matter because a comedian shouldn't be held to a standard of 100%.
Yeah. I heard Patrice say that on like Fox or something like that. He goes, all those jokes, the offensive ones and non-offensive ones, they all, the good ones and the bad ones, they're all from the same spot.
Right.
Where it's like, is this funny?
Yes.
And then the crowd laughs like, yes, it is. Or they don't. And you're like, no, it's not.
Right. And do people think like...
And it's about lollipops. You don't have to take any danger if you don't get... If people are just like, oh, that wasn't funny.
Yeah.
But no one gets mad at you.
Right,
right. Making an anti-lollipop joke.
Right. I know. And it's the thing is like that person is so self-centered. She doesn't understand that the 18 other topics that he dealt with before he got to that one could have had the exact same impact on somebody else in the audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's a self-absorbed.
It's a very self-absorbed thing to be like, no, this is the most important because this one's hitting me. No, I laughed at the retard thing.
Right.
Right. But then somebody else who has a son who's mentally handicapped probably wasn't laughing.
Yeah,
I would love
to play that set back. A Daniel Tosh set, by the way. He always does offensive jokes.
Right.
To play that back for that lady and be like, you didn't get mad here.
And watch her in the audience like this on every single other effect. Oh, but wait, you got to something that hits me now.
Yeah.
I have to take it up because I'm the most important person in this audience. It's narcissistic. But also the whole thing about being funny is such those jokes, I don't know if people think you write them at home and you go, this, you know what, this one's going to totally work. Oh, yeah. Or this one's not, you know, in advance.
It's a Wednesday at the Laugh Factory.
You have to try shit out. I mean, if you ever watch Chris Rock, it's a really fascinating process because he takes a yellow pad on stage when he's
really
first starting. He works out his jokes, and you can, some of it's good, some of it's not, and then you see him like 6 weeks later somewhere, and some of those bits are bigger and slightly different, and you know, it's a job, and you can't do it at home by yourself. It's like you have to. It's not like learning to play the clarinet.
Yeah,
you
when you're
have
doing like a 2,000 seater and you're taping something, you're like, "These are the jokes you should quote me on."
Yeah,
you know,
right.
But until then, it's like,
right. I'm just working this stuff out. You get to see the drafts.
Yeah, or I'm trying in a different order, and people are like, "It didn't work." I'm like, "No, I didn't," but I had to see if it did or not.
Right. Or you're in a tent.
Yeah. What did Chris Rock say about chicks and comedy? He's in your movie, right?
Yeah. Well, he's, you know, if you're a comedian, you see, one of his things is that you see everybody.
Yeah.
So you know, as a comedian, what's good or bad. Like, the audience doesn't. They only see
they
the people that get to the top for the most part. Well, most people in the world only know the comedians that have already made it. They
They're
don't know anybody.
Yeah.
So if they don't think Lisa Lampanelli's funny and you know, Whitney Cummings is funny, then
women
they go,
funny.
Oh, women aren't funny.
Oh, right.
But we get to see everybody. You know. So he was saying, like, as comedians, we know that there's funny women.
Do you see a lot of women that have come in and just be like, what do you see the percentage-wise? Let's say there's way less women. So there's 10% of women in comedy.
Right. But I could name, like, five really funny women that you wouldn't argue with. you know, that are hilarious. Like, because somebody was saying you wouldn't want to do an all-woman show because you couldn't find enough funny women. But I, if you, you're Morgan Murphy, Tig, Sarah.
Well, to me, it's like an all-anything show is exclusive. It's going to be a worse show.
It's not going to be great because it's, but you could put together a show of equal amounts, guys and girls, that were all equally funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. There are a lot of really funny women.
What do you think percentages-wise in terms of, like, unfunny people to funny people, men and women? Like, let's say, how many, what percentage of the male comedy community is just unwatchably bad to you?
A lot.
It's a lot. There are a lot of them. There are a lot of them.
But men have more confidence when they're bad, I think.
Oh, it's the worst when you see men some fucking really confident, suck-ass comic.
Oh, God. Yeah. Sometimes that's all I want. That's the thing. When I see them up there just parading around their horribleness, I think, how do they do that? I need that. I want that. I mean, I feel like I've got good jokes and I can't even, I get halfway through if it's not working. I'm bailing. I'm like, ugh, I start.
Yeah, I'm terrible.
I'm the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how those people do that. And they get off stage and it was like a B minus C plus set. And they're like, hey, what do you guys want to do later? And I'm like, why aren't you mourning?
I know. I saw a guy recently at a TV taping. Eat it. Terrible. And I didn't want to say anything to him because I didn't want to get into some kind of awkward conversation. But I said to the one of the producers, Brian Baldinger, I was like, does he know? And Brian's like, he doesn't know.
It's wow.
Funny. He hasn't. I was like, how could he not know? He doesn't know.
How could
he's like, hey,
he
good
not
show.
Know.
He's like, thanks.
Oh, wow. Really? Those people are amazing to me.
They're amazing.
How do you not let it get to you? How do you not want to quit comedy every time?
I
13
know.
Years in, and I still, if I have a bad set followed by a moderate set, I'm like, I should look for something else to do.
Right. I know. I know. I'm like, I'm constantly like, well, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
I chose wrong.
That's a good point about just saying what Chris Rock said about you only see the girls that are like, pushed up there. That's the only ones you notice.
Those are somebody else's choices that you get to see.
Yeah. Because every time somebody talks about signs, you ever hear people, and I feel like it's a girl thing too, but something's a sign. I don't know. We were going to see that movie and there was a commercial for that movie came on.
Oh,
it's a sign. We should go see it.
It's a sign of schizophrenia.
What I want to be like.
It really is if you see too many coincidences.
Yeah. It's because you have another life that you've put stuff into your brain with.
If your brain wants to make patterns anyway, but I think if you make too many patterns, that's one of the signs
really?
Of schizophrenia.
Oh, it really is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, when I'm like, I wish I could explain to you what coincidence means. But you're just noticing coincidence.
There's
no signs. There's no signs. And if there were signs, it'd be more obvious than commercial ran.
I mean, yeah, like if God can tell you where to go, why doesn't he just go, hey, you should go there. Yeah. That's going to be good for you.
Yeah, you know what are good for that? Actual signs. If you put up a sign on the street, that would help.
Hey, can you just write it in the snow? That's fine. Just trying to figure everything out.
Seven leaves fell, and my birthday's on the 7th, so that must be.
I know people like that.
That's God.
It's exhausting.
It is exhausting. But I must be the same way when you let your brain pick certain things. So it must be like you see all the like successful women and you're like, ugh.
Right.
I don't know. There's something to it. I don't know what it is. I don't want to like not like female comics. And well, I like a lot of them.
But again, you're...
So is that what it is? Am I noticing?
You're viewing that person as like... Like, I think the hardest part about being a female comic is the beginning, when you're bad. Because guys kind of go under the radar, right, for a long time. Yeah. And then it's fine. And even if you have just one good joke, you're a good comic. People, you know, people can see. I can see. I'm sure you can see. You know which guys are not necessarily the ones that are going to be great, but that are going to continue on in the career. And the ones that aren't, right? So, but I think for women, you get like a little bit too much of a like, especially I'm sure if you're an attractive woman, because people pay more attention to you.
That's success.
And then you're like, oh, it's terrible. But you're focusing too much on
it. Jen Kirkman said that once. She said that on some message board, that alternative message board, what was that called? A special thing?
Yes.
And when that was like, when we all discovered it, and we're like, what the fuck?
When Patton would write like 800 word.
Yeah, essays. It was the first thing in writing that had ever like summed up comedy. So we're all like super intrigued by it. And we'd get mad if they wrote us up wrong.
I know.
Happy if they wrote us up. Oh. But she was on there and she was talking about how hard it is. And she was saying that when she was starting in comedy, she got put on premium blend and it was too early. She wasn't ready for it and she didn't do that well.
Right.
And then she had a really hard time for the next couple of years having people see her as a good comic.
Right.
Because she was on that thing too early and it was harder for her. And I was like, I remember reading that at home going, are you complaining that they put you on Comedy Central too early? I have showcased 19 times for those motherfuckers. I know. Is that what your complaint is? It's right. harder for women because
right.
of that?
Right. Well, the thing is that, you know, that's why you got to fucking work hard, because you got to be ready for whatever thing comes
yeah.
your way. You know, it's not like some magical thing that's, you know.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, people think comedy is just like, oh, I'm just funny, I'm just good at
it.
Right.
No, you
it's
gotta
just
do it.
Magical. Like, it just comes to you, and when necessary, it's like you kind of.
That's what I always think when I get too confident for some reason. If my jokes, whatever jokes I'm writing or working on then are like good,
yeah,
then I'm start thinking like, I'm really good at this. I can do and say anything, and then I go up with no material, just doing a subject, and yes. I'm like, oh, that's right, I haven't worked at this part at all. Yeah, I need to write.
That's
so
great about comedy. I think you can never really get tired of it, because when you think you got it, when you're yeah. like, I know now, I get it now, I get how to do it. You will fucking eat it yeah. so hard.
I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
All right. I know. Fuck all. Damn it.
Yeah. You can never win.
Yeah.
Never.
When's this movie coming out, by the way?
So, well, we're in the final stages of closing this deal with On Demand. So,
that's where it's going to be? On Demand?
On Demand.
Okay.
Every household in America has
HBO
it.
On Demand, or just On Demand?
On Demand, like Infinity, whatever your Comcast, whatever your okay. provider is.
I don't know how this works.
If you go On Demand, people know how to get it. But they're going to run trailers for it and stuff. So
yeah. When's it going to be out?
So mid-October, I think it looks like.
Do you think girls get mad at you for not defending female comedy?
I think sometimes women do. They want it to be a little bit more...
team girl.
Yes, than it is. And it's... I mean, I really wanted to make a funny movie. So that was first yeah. and foremost what I tried to do.
How was it talking to Joan Rivers?
It was cool. She's like a tiny, tiny person. She fits in the palm of your hand.
Really? Here's my problem with Joan Rivers. When I just started comedy, and I remember going to Largo once, when that show was like really hopping, yeah. And watching, and like a couple of people made jokes shitting on Joan Rivers.
I know.
You know? And it was like a standard, like, that girl's ridiculous. Yeah. We can all make fun of her. And then a movie came out, and I saw all these alternative comics going like, oh, she's wonderful.
I know.
I was so mad. I was like, what? You guys lied to me.
Yeah.
You can't just like her now.
Right. I know.
And so I didn't see that movie forever, and then I saw it. I was like, oh, yeah, she's pretty badass. But I'm like, why did I believe these alternative comics? Why do they hate her in the first place? Plastic surgery? Was that it?
But they all know who to hate and who to like, right?
They all know. It's down a party line.
When I hated
Tim Allen. For making yeah. kids movies. I don't know why.
I know. But okay for David Cross.
Yeah. Yeah. That, like, oh, we'll look the other way.
Fine.
Like,
when I was at a party at David Cross when I first moved to LA, Dave Rath's.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, everyone was watching everyone was watching music videos on his huge screen TV, and everyone would, like, cheer when one that came on that they liked, and yeah. I couldn't figure it out, like, what, how does everyone know, like, how does everyone have exactly the same musical taste?
Uh-huh.
And I go to my friend Karen Kilgariff. I was like, how does everybody know? She goes, oh, just watch Janine.
They watched Janine
decide, Garofalo.
She decides for everyone.
And I thought she was joking at first. I kind of laughed, and then she's like, no. And then
wow.
Janine would be like, oh, and then everyone would, yay, to the music video.
Wow. There's a girl, Karen Kilgariff. I remember her being like legitimately funny.
Great, great comedian.
Does she do comedy anymore at all?
Well, she was for years Ellen DeGeneres' head writer.
But she stopped doing stand-up for it.
I don't know. I haven't spoken to her outside of Twitter for...
Like, I've never seen her. Where does Ellen shoot? New York or L.A.?
In L.A.
Yeah, I've never seen her, even on lineups. Like, even on the web where somebody's telling...
Occasionally, you know. I see her.
Really?
Yeah, on a lineup or something.
Girls Guitar Club.
But she could have been fabulous. A huge, uh-huh. successful comedian, but I guess she just went another way.
Yeah. I wonder if that's a thing with girls, too. There is the
Well, you
got to
make
thing.
Money, you know, yeah. and stuff.
But there's.
But a lot of guys do that, too.
They become writers and get out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I know that happens a lot. But I feel like more guys kind of come back to it or stay with it while they're trying to do the writing. Maybe not.
No.
What about motherhood? What about that? That has to hold women back.
That is a big part of it, because what happens is that right around the time where you start getting good and you should start headlining,
the clock,
you know,
starts going off.
Yes. You know, at that point, you're, you know, somewhere in your 30s probably. And
like, I gotta do this.
You're like, yeah. So, and then when women have children, like I had my daughter's going to turn 5 next week. You know, I didn't want to go on the road anymore.
You want to stay at home.
I wanted to stay at home with her. And so I just do, literally, I feel like I've done every, you know, Italian seafood restaurant in the tri-state area. I just
to work
anywhere
out.
That will have me where I can drive back home.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the first, last week and this week are the first 2 weeks that I've actually started now.
Getting paid?
Getting back into it, like going. Well, no, I mean.
Since you had your baby?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's 5 years.
Yeah.
Six if you count.
Right, like, so I haven't gone on the road. Time. Occasionally, I go on the road with Rich. The whole family will go.
Okay,
you know. And one time I did a weekend foray, but I drove back the Saturday night, so I really was only gone one night.
You know what it is about girls too? I just realized this. Guys that like the girls or attracted to them will praise them up and down, like praise a shitty comic that they're attracted to, like up and down.
I don't think that's true.
Really?
I never got that.
How would you know?
Well, I feel like there's been guys in comedy that have been attracted to me.
Yeah, and they still shit on your comedy?
I've
seen this thing, or if a guy like thinks he has a chance with the girl.
Maybe prior to. But girls aren't that dumb. You just don't think like a girl.
No, they brag to other guys. They'll be like, no, so-and-so is really good.
Really? I didn't know that happened.
Out of comedy. Who's done with comedy now? Who's kind of shitty? A girl was.
A girl?
That's... Yeah, from 10, 12 years ago.
I don't know. I don't know.
Whoever it is.
Like, let's just, who are you talking about?
I don't know. Anybody.
What
let's
is
say
the
it was
point?
You. Yeah,
okay,
the point is, like, if I had this crush on you.
Oh, okay.
And then my friends like talking about girls in comedy, like, no, Bonnie's fucking hilarious, dude.
Oh.
No, you're wrong. She's fucking
awesome.
I didn't
know guys did that even.
Yeah. And then everyone else is like, what are you, like, we all agree. That person is terrible, except this one dude who's screaming about how awesome she is. Not even not terrible, awesome.
Doug Benson used to do that all the time with the girls that he dated.
Fuck
and
yeah, he did.
He admitted in the movie, although we didn't put this part in the movie, but yeah. He admitted in the on camera that none of the girls he dated were funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's funny.
Yeah, that's but funny. He would always.
But he always tell them how funny they were.
He would always tell everyone else how funny. You're right.
He booked them on shows. He's like, yeah, let's go. I was like, what? Melinda Hill's on your show? Come on.
Did he date Melinda Hill?
No, but I think he wanted to. But I remember she did like UCB, one of his nights, like the big show. And I was like, motherfucker, God, I can't even get on that show.
Right.
Remember, but fuck.
Well, because they want to believe that the person that they like, or maybe
has talent.
Yeah.
It's like a normal thing, I guess. When my friends aren't as funny, I rate them like probably 40% higher than they are.
right.
You know, I'll see their good sets as normal and most of their sets as abnormal.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because you want your friends to be funny. But, and you also really don't want your friends to be that much funnier than you.
Oh, yeah.
Then it gets...
Yeah, your friends that are worse than you, you rate as funnier than they are.
Funnier than you, you're like, he's overrated.
Right. Yeah.
He's a little...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I put Chris Rock. We did a show once, and not a show, like a short. Me and my friend were going to have a fight, like, and we're going to invite everybody, all the comics. We had like a training montage.
Yeah.
And Chris Rock was there, and we were like so worried about asking him to be in it or something. We were like, oh, we agree. Like, none of us are going to ask him. We're not doing this. So instead, my friend just got some like dumbbells and started working out outside of his car right when he got off. So we had like camera set up just so he could walk by. And my friend was like, hey. Chris Rock, like, hey. And then he gets in his car and walks out and drives away. We're like, we got Chris Rock in it. So retarded. Damn, I'm trying not to use that word. Fuck.
You gotta work on it.
I feel like it's a bad word. I feel like it's not expressing what I wanted to express.
I feel like, though, that's a word that like people who get mad about other words.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it on Twitter where they're screaming about, you know,
you're retarded for using,
and then
words,
and then
like
they'll
rip.
Go like, they'll be like, some argue back, and then they'll go, you're retarded, you don't know what you're talking about. It's
you
like,
Jew people down.
Yeah, I don't think if you're gonna hold yourself up as this, you know, ethical person that knows right from wrong, that you should be arguing with the word retarded. Yeah,
nobody looks inward. Nobody ever looks inward.
They're like, what I say is fine.
Yeah,
I'll tell you a story about my sister really quick. And then I don't know how long you do these things for.
Just go till we're done with this.
More than a week. So my sister Lynn has Down syndrome, and she's
developed it or born with it.
She's born with it.
Okay, you can't develop it.
I don't think so.
Okay,
that would be weird.
Yeah. Okay. So you.
We're gonna have to change your facial features because you've developed.
Your eyes are normal. We're gonna use glasses to make them look really big.
So she's really funny, very, very social. She's another person. She can,
high functioning or low functioning or middle?
She's middle, but she's very so, like, she's really good at small talk. People love talking to her because
wouldn't that be all she has?
I think so. I think that's why she's good at it.
Oh, like, okay.
You know, she's excited about talking about, you know, the weather or the day.
Okay.
Your bar stool, whatever. So we she's really into Elvis. So we did, Rich and I did shows in Memphis.
Tennessee, yeah.
And we took her with us so that we could go to Graceland.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was funny because we took her to radio with us in the morning. And, you know, when you go to radio, you're like, hey, we're here for radio. She was like, hello, I'm Bonnie's sister, Lynn. And then all of a sudden, everyone was acting better. Like,
really?
You know, but it was like a suddenly,
she was so positive.
She was happy and people were shaking her hand. And also, the one kind of benefit of having Down syndrome as opposed to just being mentally retarded is people know right away.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question. They're not looking at you like, is this a weird person?
Yeah.
They're like, oh. And so they're gentle and nice most of the time. And so it was fun to kind of have her around as this person that went ahead of us and put people in good mood before we got there, because Rich and I are both such assholes.
That's why I never got Rain Man. I was like, so Tom Cruise finds out he's got like a some sort of weirdly underdeveloped like brother, and he's like, get in the fucking car. Let's go. I'm heartless in the beginning of this movie.
You know what's weird? I find that very strange too, like all these movies and stuff where they depict like somebody who's mentally handicapped and everyone being mean and making fun of them. I lived in a really rural northern Canadian place.
Yeah.
I grew up on a farm, and you know, so there's a lot of like nobody small made town. Fun of my sister.
Really?
No, she was probably one of the most popular people in our high school.
Really?
Very.
She went to regular high school?
She was integrated into regular high school.
Oh,
yeah,
that's nice.
Their class. But it's weird, like when I see that, something seems untrue about it, that people are just that kind of heartless.
The worst that happens is when you're like in fourth grade, you stare because they don't look like you expect people to look, and you're like,
well. Or maybe you don't really want to play with them or something. But are people really yelling like, "Hey Rita, why do you eat this dog
poop?" No, they're only yelling at regular people.
Who's doing that? I don't think it's.
So when you hear someone called, if I call Rich a retard,
right?
Does any part of you go like, actually? Is Down syndrome not retarded? Is that like a whole different thing?
No, it is. It's definitely mental retardation, and
is that a
Rich has it, so it's perfectly fine.
When you hear that, do you get a little like offended or like upset?
I don't, because I feel like they're just words that people. But I do feel bad when Lynn's around and people are using that word, because I remember she came to a show and Natasha Leggero was on stage, and Natasha said retard in her thing, and Lynn goes, oh, like that to me, and I said oh no, she means stupid. I mean, she means dumb. Yeah. No, she means, like, you can't explain it away. You're like, she just means, like, a weird person, and everything you say is, like...
Yeah. I remember making a joke at some pizza place on stage, and there was a retarded person in the back, and I said the word retard, and I was like, don't be a retard if you're... It was just like, fuck.
I've said it on stage, and I'm again saying it, but I've said it on stage because sometimes you just say things to survive.
Yeah, I'm not even afraid of... I'm more afraid as a comedian. I'm like, I'm expressing the wrong thing here.
Right.
I'm going to get someone upset, not for the reasons I want them to.
Yeah, like I'm saying something I don't believe in. That's what I hate. I'm just saying something to get a laugh, and it's like...
If I call a black guy a nigger, it's like, you're getting what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, you might be offended, but this is what I'm going for.
Right.
But if I call you a retard, then it's like, no, someone else is going to be pissed off for a whole different thing.
Right.
I got to stop using it.
So we were in Memphis and, Rich, we went to the club, the night before radio, and Rich went and talked to the club owner in the back, and Lynn and I sat in the back of the open mic night, and we're watching all these comics, and, we're having a good time. And, one guy got up and, he said he had a joke with the word retard in it. And I didn't say anything to Lynn. I didn't look over at her or anything. And then a couple, you know, they were only doing 3 minutes each. And then a couple comics later, I go, you having a good time? She goes, no. I go, why? She goes, that one guy, he said a word that you're not supposed to say. And I didn't know it. I was like, oh, I didn't hear it. She goes, you know, two words you can't say, nigger and mm-mm. Like, she fully said nigger, but wouldn't say the word retarded. But there was like all these black people. I was like, ooh, you know. So, so it's funny. So then we went out, and the guy was in the bar area. And she went right up to him. She doesn't have any problem with this kind of confrontation. She was like, you said a word that you shouldn't say. And, of course, he knows immediately because he's looking at her face. Yeah. And he was really sweet. He was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a bad person. You know, he was like, and she forgave him immediately. And he goes, hug. And she goes, and she gave him a hug. And she grabbed his butt.
Really? Really?
Yeah, it was so funny.
I heard this thing that retarded people are... What different types of them are there?
Oh,
Down syndrome? What else is there?
There's, well, autism. I mean, there's so many different kinds of
category,
problems. I mean, you could get in a car accident and just...
Okay. Well, I heard the one... Maybe it's Down syndrome.
Thinking, I don't know.
That they're all super horny.
Well,
and they don't know... That's not true?
Probably not.
But they don't know that you're not supposed to... act on these feelings all the time, so they're just, when they're in homes together, they always just fucking giving each other hand jobs and just touching.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I mean, I'm sure they have the same emotional,
well, like if I didn't
things
think it was
that
wrong.
Go on in a regular person, so I'm sure however much that you are horny, they
right, but if
guy,
I didn't know it was wrong,
some guys
I'd be
are horny
constantly.
Some guys aren't, some women aren't, so they probably have the same amount of.
Yeah.
I feel weird talking about it. I'm not an expert.
I just feel like
but
when
I've
I get
never
money,
seen
I wouldn't
two
just
retarded
start
people
off
jerking each other off.
Okay.
I will say that.
Okay, thanks. That's the question. Wait, there's something I was going to say about fuck. I forgot now.
Christ, this was good. It was like serious and then funny and then serious.
Oh, yeah, because back
we
and
really
forth.
We really went deep.
Oh, I know what it was. Jerry Jewell. What is she?
The
Facts of Life Girl. What is she?
No, she has. Cerebral palsy, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So her mind is fully
oh, totally
intact.
Fine. Yeah, cerebral palsy people, I feel bad for because I'm like, oh, people treat you like you're dumb,
right?
Huh? And like,
right.
Always.
Right. And then some of them are though. See, that's where it gets tricky.
Some of them are
because
dumb.
They're just people.
Oh yeah,
so.
We know a guy. We knew a guy. This guy Stevie Z, who was living with Steve Simone for a while, and he was like pretty smart, but severely that whatever that was. What is it called? What is that one? What did you just say it was?
Cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy. Yeah. But then we know this other guy, David Wester, who's from like central Washington state, and he's just a redneck.
Right.
He's just a dumb redneck.
Right. But he
carries a knife around. Yeah.
Policy.
But he's still like half is like, oh no, you are stupid.
Right.
But
yeah.
I don't know. But right. Bernie Stevens was on stage once. He was like yelling at David Taylor once for being too mean outside in the back before he went on stage. He's like, you're too mean, David. You have to deliver kinder lines.
Right.
You need, it's positive energy, all that stuff. And then he goes, guys, if you want to learn something, come on stage. I'm about to go on. So it was like real late at the store. So we're like, we'll go on. You know, we'll go in there and fuck around with them. There's eight people or less in the crowd. And he doesn't do any impressions. But then somebody, Stephanie Escajeda, got mad because she wanted to go on. And he was just running the light because it was like the end of the night. He goes, oh, I didn't realize. She goes, Brody, there's people here. He goes, oh, I'll do crowd work. And he goes, what's your name? He goes, some lady. And she was like, Tammy or whatever. And I was like, and what's your friend's name? She goes, Jerry. And she goes, oh, like Jerry Jewell? And I was in the back going, hey, Brody, that's actually Jerry Jewell.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? And she goes, yes, it is. It was her. She was sitting there.
No.
Yeah. And Brody, who never, ever gets mean and never does impressions, just did this thing at this girl who has cerebral palsy.
Oh, horrible.
And he was like, what? Really? And she goes,
there goes
yeah.
It. We've just proven ourselves wrong that people aren't mean to handicapped people.
Uh-huh.
Yep, they are.
He put his head down his hands and he goes, I got to go. I can't. I'm so sorry. I got to go. And he hid in the main room.
Oh, God.
Like, left.
Yeah, because there's no getting out of it because it's like, oh, if you say like, oh, I wouldn't have done that if I'd known that you were here. It's still, I
so would
still make fun
back.
Of. Yes, I will make fun of you behind your back, but
the odds that he gets mean for the first time,
oh god,
and does an impression of her and happened to ask her instead of
that,
anybody
that's
else
a sign.
That's a sign of what?
No, I don't know, but you should quit comedy.
Yeah,
why doesn't she do stand-up anymore?
She
used to do stand-up?
I think she did.
Yeah,
she can't have had more than 10 minutes, right?
I don't know.
15. I mean, wasn't it all just like,
I have no idea.
80s comedy was all like, this is what I am.
Right.
Like, that's all it was.
Right. I remember when I started, people would constantly be like, you've got to talk about growing up on a farm.
I know.
Like, that was going to be my thing. And it was, like, horrible every time.
I hate that. When they all pushed you into doing this certain thing.
Yeah.
I remember thinking it out, though. They were like, look, you're from Maryland. You're a Jew. Like, you know, what's that? I'm like, Judah Friedlander is also from Maryland and a Jew. But our acts are nothing alike, and they shouldn't be.
Right.
Because there's more to us than that. There's plenty of people who grew up on a farm.
I mix you guys up all the time, by the way.
I wear my second place hat like constantly.
It's funny. I don't think of Judah as a Jew.
You don't, right?
No.
He is one. But no, he doesn't. There's nothing about him that exudes that at all. Right. And it shouldn't.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with him.
I heard he's super cheap.
Really?
No.
I don't know. Not. I don't know either way.
That was my one stereotype I thought I'd throw.
I like that guy. All right. Do you have anything to add before we leave? About
I had
chicken
a great
comedy?
Time. No.
Thanks. Do you have like Twitter or like?
I do.
What is it?
You can decide if chicks are funny or not.
That's your Twitter account? You can decide if chicks are funny or not? No,
by following me. Bonnie McFarlane. That's my Twitter name.
How do you spell McFarlane?
I'll spell the whole thing out. Okay. You ready, guys? BonnieMcFarlane.
Okay. Nice. Follow you on there. Yeah, that's some funny people on Twitter. There's a lot more funny girls on Twitter.
I think Twitter, honestly, I feel like girls are really good at Twitter.
Yeah, quick, short quips. Yeah, and I'm like, what? Yeah, Morgan Murphy really impressed me when she took to Twitter.
Yeah.
I was like, Jesus, these are really... And the jokes aren't slow. That was my only problem with her on stage. It was like, start the next joke.
I know. I was like, I've held myself back from literally strangling.
Go. You can get 12 more jokes in. Just go.
What is... Yeah, like, I
but
don't know
Twitter,
why
on Twitter, I can read at my own pace. So
I know.
It's like, oh, these are awesome.
I know, right? You can read them at your own pace.
Yeah, what is that? How come girls are better on Twitter? Because nobody cares, really.
I guess because you just read... I don't know. I thought that the other day. I was like,
it stands on its own. You don't get to read their voice.
Maybe they're just... It's just maybe the way that...
It's a bunch
see,
of non-comedian
girls,
too.
I think, too, what happens
too.
Is that girls want to be as good at guys in a system that's built for guys.
So they try to act like guys.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, sometimes you got to kind of, like, you can go other routes.
Yeah.
That you don't have to... So Twitter is something that wasn't built for guys. It's not like a masculine...
It wasn't built for anybody, yeah.
Right. You know, so...
I wasn't sure.
All right, man.
Yeah, okay.
I know you're lonely, but I got it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
The movie's going to come. What's it called?
Women Aren't Funny.
Okay, in October. All right, rad. Thanks, Bonnie. Okay,
thank you.
I get away almost every day with what the girls call, what the girls call, what the girls call. The girls call murder.
That's it, you guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. Please check out Bonnie McFarlane's and Rich Voss's podcast. And please subscribe to these podcasts on iTunes, on Stitcher. And that's it, because I don't know anything else to do. If you have any suggestions, please call me. Or not call me, but contact me at contact@arithegreat.com. I'm always, always open to suggestions. I'm looking for a drug dealer right now. That should be fun. And I think I got a line in a homeless guy. And please don't forget to go, if you go to Amazon, please go through my website, arithegreat.com. Go through there. There's a banner on the right side, a Canadian banner just below it in black. The regular American banner is in brown. Go through that, click, and get all your purchases. And then they kick me money back. That and gamefly.com/Ari. Just try that. Just try the gamefly.com/RE right now. And get me money without costing you money. That's the best ads I can get. I don't want to beg for cash. All right, guys. Thank you, Bonnie McFarlane. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.